want us to learn this proverb together. So we're going to do a little call and response. I love to do this with you, but I'm going to give you hand motions today. We're going to learn this one, Proverbs 3:27. It's Monday. Come on, get it together. So here we go. You got to repeat it back to me, and you got to do the hand motions. And this is fun because I get to see y'all. You ready? Here we go. Do not. Get a little swag. Yeah, I like the head. Do not. Come on. Come on, Andrew. Yep. Do not withhold. Like you got a deck of cards, you know, you're playing cards. Withhold. Do not withhold. Good. Let's try it. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. From those to whom it is due. When? That looks awesome. When? It is in your power to do it. Okay, here we go. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. That's awesome. Let's put it on the screen. Do you remember the movie Pay It Forward? It goes way back. It came out in the early 2000s, starring Kevin Spacey and Helen Hunt. It's a story about a young boy named Kevin who went to school on the first day, and his teacher gives the assignment, change the world. Kevin takes the assignment very seriously and begins to envision a system where if a good deed was passed to one person and they in turn pass that good deed on to another person, the chain reaction effect would change the world for good. And for those of you who've seen the movie, it happens in the movie. Individuals, marriages, family structures, communities, governments, and even nations are impacted for good by the passing on of good. It seems that somewhere along the way, someone must have taught little Kevin the proverb, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Or have you heard the story of the event that occurred in a college softball game between Central Washington and Western Oregon? In the early innings of the game, Western Oregon's Sarah Tikowski came up to the plate, and she hits her first home run of her career. And she's not used to running around the bases of a home run trot, so much so that she missed tagging first base. And as she misses first base, she turns awkwardly to go back to touch it, and she tears her ACL. She crawls back to first base, and the coach says, no one touch her, because the coach knows the rule, if anyone touches her or assists her, a trainer or a teammate, that her home run would then become a single. So as the coaches and the umpires are trying to figure out what to do with Sarah Tikowski, who's a torn ACL on first base, Central Washington, the opponent's first baseman, Mallory Holtzman, comes into the huddle and says, excuse me, would it be okay if we carry her around the bases and touch her foot on the bag? With the umpire's blessing, Holtzman and Central Washington's teammate, Liz Wallace, gingerly scoop up Tatowski, and they begin to take her around the bases and touch her foot on the bag. By the time they reach second base, everyone in the grandstands is on their feet, either cheering or crying, or some doing both. And it's worth noting that this game, which had NCAA tournament implications for both schools, was won by Western Oregon 4-2. It seems somewhere along the way, someone must have taught Mallory Holtzman and Liz Wallace the proverb, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Or if you heard the story of Teddy Stollard. Teddy Stollard was not the kind of kid who got invited to parties. He slouched in his chair. He looked bored most of the time. He only spoke to when called upon, and then in monosyllables. He never dressed right. He had smelly clothes. He was rather an unattractive young boy. Whenever his teacher would mark Teddy's paper, she got a certain perverse pleasure out of marking all the wrong answers. She would put a big F at the top of the paper. She might have known better because his history was on record. First grade, Teddy is a good boy and shows promise but has a poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy is quiet and withdrawn. His mother is terminally ill. Third grade, Teddy is falling behind. His mother died this year. His father is uninvolved. Fourth grade, Teddy is hopelessly backward. His father has moved away. Teddy's living with his aunt. He is deeply troubled. Christmas came and all the children brought presents to school. They were all carefully wrapped except for Teddy's, which was packaged in a brown paper bag and held together with tape marked "For Mrs. Thompson from Teddy." And the teacher would open the gifts one by one for the class to admire. And when she opened Teddy's, it was a rhinestone bracelet with most of the stones missing and a bottle of perfume, which was mostly gone. And the other children began to laugh, but Mrs. Thompson caught herself, and she snapped on the bracelet, and she said, "Look at class, isn't this lovely? And doesn't the perfume smell so very nice?" At the end of class, Teddy approached her shyly, and he said, "I'm glad you like my gifts, Mrs. Thompson," he whispered. "All day long, you smelled like my mother, and the bracelet looks so nice on you, too." After he left, Mrs. Thompson put her head down in the desk and cried, and she asked God to forgive her. She prayed that God would help her to see what he sees when she looks at a motherless boy. When the children came back to school the next day, Mrs. Thompson was a new teacher. She tutored the children who needed extra help, Teddy most of all. And by the end of the year, he had caught up with most of the classmates and was ahead of some. And after that, she didn't hear much from Teddy until she got a note one day a few years later. "Dear Mrs. Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I graduated from high school. I'm second in my class. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, she gets another note. "Dear Mrs. Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'm graduating first in my class. The university has been hard, but I like it. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, another note. "Dear Mrs. Thompson, I want you to be the first to know that as of today, I am Theodore J. Stollard, M.D. How about that? And I want you to come and sit where my mother would have sat because you're the nearest thing to family that I have. Love, Teddy Stollard." It seems somewhere along the way, someone must have taught Mrs. Thompson the proverb, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." And I don't need to look far, I don't need to look wide to see that this proverb is being lived out right here on Hope College's campus, among you as students and faculty members and staff members as well. Whether that's in the classroom, or in the resident halls, or on the athletic field, or on the stage in the arts, I've noticed this proverb being lived out in Relay for Life, in the SEED program, Take Back the Night, Team 43, Dance Marathon. I've seen it lived out in CASA and Young Life, The Pull and Nykirk, which tells me somewhere along the way, someone must have taught you the proverb, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." I find it interesting that the opening line of this particular proverb, "Do not withhold," is the exact line used in Romans 8:32, which says, "And God did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us." God did not withhold, he gave. God did not withhold, he gave. God did not withhold, he gave his son for all of us. That includes you, that includes me, the God of the universe, cares enough about, loves enough about you and me that he didn't withhold, but he gave his son Jesus so that we may have life. And for any of us sitting here this morning who have a vision of God as being a withholding, stingy, critical, stern God who waits for us just to screw up so he can administer his punishment on us, I want you to know that that is not the God of the Christian Bible. For the God of the Christian Bible is not a withholding God, but a giving God. The God of the Bible is not a stingy God, but rather a generous God. The God of the Bible is not a critical God, but rather a gracious God. The God of the Christian Bible is not a stern God, but a lovingly just and good God, a God who desires for all of us to flourish. And one of the primary ways he makes that happen is when he calls people like you and you and you and you and me to live out Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. So do it. So do it. Leave Dimnit Chapel today and do it. Do it on your way to class. Do it when you're eating in Phelps Cafeteria. Do it when you go to practice. Do it when you're chilling in your cluster. Do it when you go to LJ's or the Boltman Center. Do it when you interact with people you know and people you don't know. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.